And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today via telephone is Dr. John Vance. And Pastor Vance, welcome. It's good to hear you here.
Well, I'm delighted to be here and to chat with you today.
Before we open the mic, I had a little interruption. We had started our recording, and then kids kind of piled into my office and said, we need help. One of them is throwing up and da-da-da-da. And make a long story short, one of the kids was having a little bit of an asthma attack, and he was coughing so much he was starting to throw up a bit, and everybody got concerned. And, of course, that settled down nicely and waited for a while and realized he's perfectly fine and stable. So here we are. We're finally having our front porch summer chat with Dr. John Vance, and it's great to have you here today.
Well, it's great to be here. I think of the listeners and know the ministry is geared to tell them about Christ, and I hope that we are a blessing today to those who are hearing us.
Amen. Years ago now, we approached Pastor Vance with the idea of starting a broadcast ministry, and he was extremely supportive from the very beginning and quickly became one of the founding board members. And so we love this brother, and we look to him for guidance and wisdom, and we're very appreciative of Pastor Vance. Pastor Vance, I do watch culture, and some people may accuse me of watching it too much. I hope that's not the case. But we live in this world. It's not that we have graduated to heaven and have no worldly concerns. Rather, I think that the Lord wants us to interact with this world, to make our mark, to make a difference, to bring the claims of Christ to every area that he puts us in. And each of our callings is unique. And so I'm concerned about the invasion into our culture of Islam. And I know that we've talked about that before, but let me just touch base really quick on that, Pastor Vance. Any fresh thoughts today as you ponder our cultural moment with respect to Islam?
Well, let me start by discussing culture a bit. Culture, of course, is related to the word, same root that we get our word cultivate. It's kind of how you build your society. As a matter of fact, H. Richard Niebuhr, in one of his books back in the 40s or 50s, maybe it was Christ and Culture, who said that culture was that secondary environment that we lay over top of nature. Even from the garden, we were given, human beings and Adam and Eve were given the command to take care of things and to build. And so we are, and Jesus reminds us that we are always building, and in one of his parables, take care of how you build. And it's not just individuals. It has to do with groups and societies and nations. How do we build to the glory of God?
Yeah.
And so culture is important. It's we're really caught up with politics. I noticed that you've had a couple of days ago or whatever, election in there in New York, where you elected three more socialists in the city. It's the way New York City is now building. I'm afraid that the people who are participating in the democratic process, number one, are either blinded in some ways or subject to propaganda and deception. But you've got a mayor there that combines two things that concern me today, and you've mentioned one, Islam. He's a Muslim. And the second, of course, is that he says he's a socialist, but really a Marxist. And those two things, the way your area is being built, is a great concern to the rest of the country. There's no city quite like New York City. It's extremely wealthy. It's less wealthy now than it was 2 years ago, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Many of these companies and financial institutions have moved to Dallas and Miami. So with these developments, New York City is I think, spawning a movement in this, and it will catch, because New York City is and has been the most important city in the world. There are only two world-class cities, according to some accounts, London and New York. So there are a lot of important cities like Tokyo and many other places, and even bigger cities population-wise. But culturally, and the influence that New York City has is just amazing. But I'm afraid that this is a threat to its viability going forward unless it stops some way.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Europe. Europe is overwhelmed with Islamic migrants. And it's something that they're trying to rectify now, but it's too late.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't see how England can ever, Great Britain can ever recover its culture.
No, no.
It's modified and changed forever.
Yeah. Well, it's very sad to me, and I mean that sincerely. And you look at. And I've never been there, but you look at London and the countryside of England, and it's a beautiful place. And I like to now and then watch an old movie that's geared to, you know, the wartime efforts. And these were beautiful buildings that Germany was bombing, and they remain beautiful. And I hate to see that taken over with Islam, but I'm getting the feeling that there's no turning back now. It's very sad.
King Charles has made extremely deferential comments to Islam in his country. At the same time, he failed, by the way, this Easter to even say anything to Christians about Easter.
Yeah.
His mother, I think, is turning over in her grave on that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. She was a good lady. I feel like the whole experiment there, as it were, of the monarchy has pretty much come to a close. I'm not sure they realize it yet.
That's true. It's certainly in danger of that.
Yeah. Let me ask you about, there's some pastors out there, call them woke pastors. They seem to be of the opinion that God has not spoken to the civil realm, that it's all to be kept internal, and spiritual renewal, we all agree with that, and come to faith in the Lord Jesus, we all agree to that. But beyond the four walls, they feel that God himself has nothing to say. I don't know how we handle those kinds of pastors. I kind of would like to kind of ship them out, you know?
I would say to these pastors, there is a side to it that I can appreciate, but overall, it is a wrong approach. It is true that there's not a form of government necessarily revealed from heaven and those kinds of things. But on the other hand, when the Bible speaks of morality and justice and those things, it's quite clear that it's universal.
Yes.
And many of the things that these people are ignoring when or permitting in their societies or even in their churches sometimes, it's quite clear that it is condemned by Scripture. I think there's a certain fear, too, on the part of many clergy to speak out today.
Mm-hmm.
Wokeism is what I would call, and I hope the women folks that are listening will not condemn me for this, but there is a sense in which it is feminism going amok.
Yes.
It's It's an overly effeminate approach to everything. It's the mother instinct, if you will, of compassion that we need so much. Compassion that's going that's been unhinged or loosed from from rationality. And what you get is the idea of no discipline. Take our borders, for instance. The country decided under the Biden administration that we could just have open borders and have a country. You cannot have it. As the great Milton Friedman used to say, you cannot have open borders and a welfare state at the same time.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible.
Social Security in 6 years is supposed to be almost depleted. Oh. You can't have Social Security with an open border.
No. No, I got some very strong feelings about welfare, Pastor Vance.
Even if you believe in it in the country, that's what I mean. The whole philosophy of having welfare and having open society is a total contradiction.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's going to collapse. It's just a given.
Well, of course it will collapse.
Yeah.
Of course, we are designed to take care of ourselves and to contribute to others.
Yes.
I preached Sunday to about 40 people who lived in an assisted living facility in Charleston. I had to drive about 90 miles one way. I did it because I have a friend who is a resident there, and he's had a stroke, and he's a devout Christian. And he asked me to come down and speak, and I did. And I spoke from Ephesians chapter 4. And one of the things that you find in Ephesians chapter 4, it's marvelous in many ways. He tells us about a whole bunch of things, but he says, let the thief no longer steal, but let him work with his hands and be generous to others.
Right.
This is contradictory to socialism, and it's contradictory in many ways to a welfare state. So the whole biblical picture is quite clear. We're responsible for ourselves and our families, and to build, not to take.
Yeah,
I was thinking of Senator Phil Graham. I guess he's still living.
I remember that name.
From Texas, and he gave a speech, and he said something that always has stuck with me since he gave the speech on television. And he was an economics professor, I think, at one time.
Oh.
So he says, you know, we got to get people out of the wagon, and they need to start pushing.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be carried along by everybody else.
Yes.
But there is a sense in which we got to get out of the wagon and start building the way our forefathers and foremothers did.
Yes.
We're not going to have a society if we have too many people who want a free ride in the wagon.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. No way, no
doesn't
how.
Work.
No.
No way, no how.
I'd like to see churches participate in caring for the poor, and help their members to do that in some way. But I don't want to see government involved in that, very frankly, except in the rarest of cases, but it's been so abused. You know what gets to me and to Deb as we drive through an area, like let's say an area in Kingston, New York or New Paltz, and we see a brand new building go up, and then if we find that it's for people that are on welfare, it grieves our hearts. You know, brand new, beautiful, beautiful building, beautiful windows and everything. But it's for people on welfare? Now, I don't mind a person who's low income having a beautiful building. That's not the issue. The issue is that people that are holding down a job are paying through the nose in taxes. That's not benefiting their own family. And they have such little money left, they don't have money to give to the poor nearly as much as they would have. And so it becomes a tremendous sacrifice to help the poor after all that money is taxed away. And these new buildings going up, we drive past and we say, oh, and we can feel our hearts sink. And then, Pastor Vance, we drive past the old IBM plant. We realize, whoa, there's another building being gutted. And it's just end up in rubble. And if only the tax situation was different, we'd still have an IBM here, potentially. We'd have other good businesses. But no, we've got tattoo parlors, and we have all kinds of where they hand out weed so that people can be drunk out of their minds.
Dispensaries,
yeah. And they're all over the place. I'm thinking, that's not a healthy city when you see that happening.
What is interesting, I don't know how many trillions of dollars we have spent since the Great Society under
FDR
back in the 60s. If you want to go back to FDR, but we can go back to
Johnson
and the war on poverty. And we've spent trillions. Do you realize that statistically we have not made one dent in the poverty levels? As a matter of fact, there are more people considered in the poverty category than there was at the beginning.
Yes.
And it's because of all the waste, feud, and abroad. But the number one thing they do is undermine families and undermine the individual worth.
Yeah.
And here's how. Every person needs work to feel good about themselves.
Yes.
There's something very dignified about work. We were made to work with our hands and with our minds and to contribute. And that's when we feel good about ourselves.
Very true.
The second thing is it's undermined the family. The out of wedlock rate has grown tremendously since the 1960s.
Yes.
And it's because a lot of women are getting a welfare check, and I don't want to see them starve or children being hurt or injured or nothing else. But here's the thing about the government taking over everything. Number one, it does undermine private charity, which we lived on and grew in this country up until the 20th century. And the second thing that it does in cases like this is that it undermines just the dignity of being a human being.
Yes.
And the opportunity of sharing and helping other people. It is a real problem. Now, how do you fix it? I don't really know how you fix it. But have we gone too far in this area as well? It cannot be fixed.
Makes you wonder.
I know the most prosperous areas of our country focus less on welfare than those who are the worst off, who focus the most on it.
Take that as an example.
I'm talking about public welfare, yes.
Yeah.
Dallas is better off than New York City right now.
Wow. Well, I was never a big one to go to New York City. I admire it. It's a beautiful city, but I don't think it's going to stay beautiful for much longer, given the socialist path that they're on. I say them because I consider it kind of separate from where I live, and yet they profoundly affect the Hudson Valley, and you know, we can't, if we could have that be their own state, I would love that, Pastor Vance.
Well, you're going to find this. Now, they have reached into Orange County with a commuter tax, you know.
There you go.
And it's going to keep going north and elsewhere in New York because the city's going to need more money. Margaret Thatcher, the great prime minister of Britain, once said, socialism works very well until you run out of other people's money. And you always run out of other people's money. And so you have to reach further and further out to get more resources. And that's what you see happening in New York City.
Now, today we're talking with Pastor John Vance, and he's a board member here at Redeemer. And you might say, well, how come you people are always talking about this? One reason is it bothers me, and it directly affects my family. and it affects Pastor Vance's family and his grandchildren and my grandchildren. And so these things have a ripple effect into the real world of where you live right now. But here's another thing. Here's something else, Pastor Vance. We have some listeners that they're down and out. They are in a public assistance situation, and they feel like there's nothing they can do to get out of that. And I think we want to encourage them to make very small improvements, hardly at all. But every little thing you do is important. Let's say you're down and out, and I had somebody call in here many times over the past couple, two, three weeks here at Redeemer, and he was down and out. But you don't have to solve the whole thing all at once. And you look at where you are and you say, you know what? I can't really affect anything at the presidential level or the congressional level, this, that, the other thing. People that are stronger and better positioned, maybe they can affect something, or maybe I can vote a little bit better next time. But it can be so overwhelming to people that are stuck in a rut. Any words of encouragement for those people today? And we've got about 5 minutes left.
James Davison Hunter, I don't know whether he's retired or not. He's a sociologist at the University of Virginia. And he was an elder, or maybe still is, in a local Presbyterian church in America there in the Charlottesville area. And he wrote a book about cultural change and change in general. And those people who try to effect a huge change, just huge, usually blow things up.
Yes.
But there is an automatic change that takes place in society naturally, and also in a human being's life. And it is incremental. If you've dug a hole for yourself, and we all do it sometime.
Yeah.
If you dig a hole for yourself, you're not going to just be able to jump out. You're going to have to figure out a way to fill in the hole, whatever, and get out gradually. Because mm-hmm. It takes a while.
It does.
To get into trouble, it takes a while to get out of trouble. And it has to be a planned, methodical way of taking control of your life. And that's what it amounts to. Yes, when we are profligate and so forth, and then we and wasteful, it means then that we're going to have to tighten the belt buckle to get back in shape and work hard with our hands or whatever. And it's emotional, too. You have to steel yourself emotionally to take the next step, the next step, the next step, and not to lose hope.
Yeah.
And this is where I think it's important for prayer. Thy will be done, O Lord. Let me not lose hope. That you are there and you're for me. And that's
Amen.
The key, I think, of getting out of trouble is not losing hope.
Deb mentioned that just the other day, how that you used to preach and you would bring up this concept, very true one, how that God is for us. God is for us. That's so very, very encouraging. And this concept, too, of incremental changes in the right direction, as small as they may be, we might say a baby step. You know, we have one or two infants now in our grandchildren, one in particular. She's not walking yet. But once she starts walking, that little incremental step, then it's over with. You know, she's going to walk the rest of her life, God willing. And that's okay, you know, just a small little steps and learn how to do it and keep going in the right direction. Pastor Vance, the last 10 seconds or last 1 minute is yours.
Well, sum up what you just said, a long obedience in the right direction is the key.
Hmm.
But the other thing that I'll mention in closing is that, yes, Jesus taught us to pray and begin the prayer, Our Father.
Amen.
Father, we just had Father's Day. A father's figure is one who is for us. And And the thing that girds my whole life when I'm tempted to doubt and to fear is that to remember that underneath me are the everlasting arms of a loving God.
Amen.
Underneath Amen. His whole creation are his arms. And praise be to God in Jesus Christ. It's being renewed, and one day we will understand.
Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been our joy to have Pastor John Vance with us today here on A Plain Answer. Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition. If you need to reach us, our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. Pastor Vance, may God bless you. Give your wife a hug, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.
Thy face appears. Let your kingdom come and your will be done right here on the earth like it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done right here on the earth like it is in heaven. Thy cross is lifted o'er us. We journey in its light. We follow as you guide us. Lead on, O God of might.